St. Mary's Medical Group. Dave and Logan along with you. Second half kickoff. I just poked my head out of the door. It's not raining right now, but it looks like it has been a little bit. Currently 61. Supposed to get up to 66 today, and the rain's definitely coming. And late morning, early afternoon, and then increasing throughout the day. And we may actually be having some thunderstorms this time tomorrow. We'll worry about that then. Today is the first day of the national signing period, traditional signing day. And thanks to our man Tony, who says traditional putting grip, traditional three-point play, traditional wedding, and traditional uniforms. And I think Stevie T may have said traditional spring break.
Yeah, I think traditional wedding might be at the top of the list there. One we forgot.
Exactly, exactly. All right, speaking of traditions, time to bring in our man Brandon Adams, the host of Dog Nation Daily, which you can normally hear every Monday through Friday from noon to 1. Not today, though. We always, on signing day, we always kind of hang on since things are so fluid. By the time we may be listening to Brandon, 10 different things may have changed. So BA will be back along with us tomorrow from noon until 1. Brandon, good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me on today. Looking forward to what I think is going to be a fun signing day for UGA.
Yeah, what are we looking at? Anything unexpected? Or I guess if we knew what was going to happen, I guess it wouldn't be unexpected. So maybe that was a stupid question. I guess what I'm asking, do you feel like there might be a surprise or two that we aren't counting on?
Well, certainly Kirby Smart has conditioned UGA fans to expect that on National Signing Day, and maybe that's made Georgia fans a little entitled. You know, you had George Pickens last year, and obviously there were some of those same fireworks at the end of the 2018 cycle as well. So it's a natural question to wonder, well, what's in store here for 2020? I mean, obviously the big headlines are going to be the fact that Roderick Jones is expected to sign his letter of intent today. We'll have video coverage of that on Dog Nation. Cedric Von Braun expected to do the same thing. And those will be big additions to the class, even though they're connected right now. And then we'll kind of buckle our seatbelt for, you know, what else might go down. If you want to start at the top of the very biggest names available, I have a hard time imagining that Jordan Burke is still in play for UGA, just given the fact that his visit elsewhere during this period was LSU a couple of weeks ago. He told our folks in Orlando at the Under Armour All-American game that Georgia wasn't really even in his, I think he said, like, top three or whatever. I mean, Georgia was actually pretty far down the list for him, according to his own words, even though he visited Georgia a number of times. So I don't think that Burke is still in play. I don't think we'll hear anything about Zach Evans one way or another, and Georgia may be just out on that all the way around. So if you're expecting a surprise, I think it's something below the five-star variety, if it's anything at all. And I'll add one more name to this list. You know, Alex Huntley, the teammate of Burke from the Hammond School up there in Columbia, that was a guy that we thought might be in play for UGA a little bit, but to my knowledge, he never visited Georgia during this period either. So if you're thinking surprises, those usual suspects, potential contenders for that surprise, it doesn't sound like they'll be the one.
You know, it's interesting, too, speaking of that school there, the Hammond School, I think the big buzz so far this morning, and I guess maybe from late last night, is that Coach Boone's son is coming to Georgia as a preferred walk-on, and a lot of people are really, really confused about that. What's your take on that?
Well, he was going to Colorado State, and it's easy to understand now why he's not. Mike Bobo's not there anymore, and so, you know, I guess in some of these situations, the player wants an influence other than his own dad on him. I don't know how much negative recruiting Will Muschamp was doing against Georgia anyway, but his opportunity to negatively recruit against UGA would seem to have been disqualified just given the fact that he's chosen to send his own son there. So there's plenty of negative recruiting against Georgia on the recruiting trail, but over the course of the next few years, I don't think any of that's going to be coming from Muschamp at South Carolina, because it's obviously, you know, a certain validation of what Smart and the staff are doing here that they would send a Jackson Mustang to be a part of it.
Do you feel like, though, it's a situation? I mean, this makes the Georgia quarterback room really crowded. I just wonder if, like, this is a young man that, you know, he's grown up around coaching all his life. If he feels like that might be something he wants to do, they're saying, hey, go get somewhere and get a different perspective. Obviously, Will and Kirby know each other very well, and you know, have known each other for a long time. But it just, and you mentioned Mike Bobo, he was committed to him, and now he's in Columbia. I mean, it's just a to me, it's kind of a weird thing. I guess I'm not really complaining about it. I guess I'm just a little puzzled by it.
Well, it is interesting. And if you push aside the scholarship quarterbacks for a moment, you know, Georgia's still pretty crowded when it comes to preferred walk-on quarterbacks. You had Priestley that was essentially the third-string quarterback for Georgia this past year. Austin Kirksey has come into the program. That was the guy who was a scholarship player for Nevada. He was Dominic Blaylock's high school quarterback at Walton High School, and now Muschamp as well. So even if you don't even count scholarship quarterbacks here for a minute, Georgia's got a good number of grad transfer quarterbacks, preferred walk-on quarterbacks in the program, and I'm sure I'm leaving somebody out, and I apologize for doing that. So it's very difficult to see how all of this kind of plays out and kind of, you know, what his role within the program would be. He's probably a smart football guy because his dad is a coach. I think your prediction could end up being true that this becomes a springboard to coaching for him. I don't know if that's his desire, but it wouldn't be the strangest thing in the world for a Muschamp to follow his dad into the industry. So, you know, it's another presence for what is actually kind of a crowded situation for Georgia when it comes to those preferred walk-on QB.
B.A., you and I have sort of echoed each other the last couple of months or so when it comes to Broderick Jones, despite the experts like Jeff Sintel telling us there's little or no reason to worry. But after what's happened since you and I have talked on this show last Wednesday, Broderick did not go to Auburn. I guess they listened to my advice and shut down I-85, whatever they had to do to keep him out of there. But now let me ask you this. The morning of, and we're literally within just a couple of hours of him expecting to sign, how is the BA stress level now when it comes to Broderick Jones? And will you still have that, like, exhale of just relief like I will when it finally happens?
Well, I always love seeing those letters get signed, and I always love seeing the tweet come out from Georgia that signifies that it is indeed official. So you always like to be able to see that. But I think for anyone who was like, hey, I consider Jones a strong UGA lean, but a visit to Auburn is a visit to Auburn, the fact that he doesn't take that, I think, is a really good sign for UGA fans. And for most people, that was, I guess, the last gasp attempt of someone to win away Jones, whether it was ever a legitimate possibility or not. And I think it speaks to the work that Matt Luke has done in his short time as a UGA offensive line coach. This is a guy that goes about his business differently than Sam Pittman did, but essentially arrives at the same result, forging strong bonds, developing connections with players. Luke's comfortable in his own skin, it would seem. He said before that he likes the part of building relationships as a coach, and he just seems to be really good at that and doing a good job of that. And I think what's going to happen with Jones, what's going to happen with Van Braun, I think those are both really good examples of just how much Luke is playing out in a very positive way for Georgia right now.
We get a rare opportunity here on 960 The Ref Weekly to talk to the chief Gator hater himself. Brandon, do we need to send, like, basic math down to the people of Gainesville to explain what a gap is, that when a team like Georgia continually ranks in the top one, top two, three at the worst the last few years in recruiting, that it actually does take that team slipping in order for someone else to catch up? You've talked about it on your show a couple times this week. Where do you see just where Georgia is and where Florida, who so desperately wants to be Georgia right now, where do you see these two programs, and is that gap getting even wider this recruiting cycle?
Yeah, I would say that it is. I think we're going to look back on the 2019 season and see that as Florida's best chance to eclipse UGA. You know, Georgia had the talent edge, but I think an offensive system that was just not really working. And I think the changes that you see over the course of this offseason is really a repudiation of what Georgia was doing offensively in 2019. And you know, Florida found a way to kind of keep that game closed, at least at the very end. That game had a chance to kind of get more out of hand, but it didn't. Florida had a chance there because, you know, just as the Georgia offense was kind of sputtering for most of the year. Georgia found a way to do some things offensively on third down against Florida back in the cocktail party this year. And I think now with the presence of Todd Monken, now with a little bit more of a, I guess, modern approach to our offense to go along with what continues to be a prodigious talent edge over Florida, I think the gap on the scoreboard between Georgia and Florida is going to be even wider this season. I think the perception of the two programs is going to kind of start sending back in the direction of UGA even more. Florida's been the top 10 team the last 2 years, given the, you know, pillow soft schedule that it plays this year. Very good chance is a top 10 team again. But in terms of the ultimate measuring stick for Florida right now, Georgia, I don't think they're going to be able to see UGA too clearly from where they're going to be standing at the end of the 2020 season.
Brandon Adams, the host of Dog Nation Daily, joining us. The Cameron Kinney commitment is certainly interesting, and didn't know if the Dogs were done with offensive linemen. Apparently not. What are your thoughts on how things seem to be going very well? It seemed like when Sam Pittman left to took the Arkansas job that it was just going to be nothing but doom and gloom as far as the offensive line went. But Matt Luke has done a really, really good job here, and I know Georgia fans have to be really fired up about him.
Yeah, you know, I think that Luke's doing an amazing job. And as you mentioned, Cameron Kinney from Collinsville High School does commit to UGA a few minutes ago. I think that Kinney might have been a defensive lineman in some programs. I know he was considering the service academies. It could very well have been that he played defensive line there. I think for Georgia, he will be like an interior offensive lineman. And I think that Kinney's presence is an example of how the February portion of the recruiting calendar has kind of changed now that we have the December early signing period, where Georgia is involved with some names that it likely would not really be involved with if we only had the one signing day. It gives Georgia a chance to evaluate players a little longer. Smart talked about this back at SEC Media Days, that he really appreciates the chance, especially sometimes when it comes to those in-state prospects, to evaluate that senior film, to have someone earn a scholarship at Georgia by the way they play over the course of their final, you know, high school campaign. Kinney would seem to be an example of that. And over the last couple of weeks, he talked about a number of names, you know, whether it be DJ Lundy from Irwin County or Charles Bell from, I guess, up in the Beltway area, or, you know, there's a million other names that we've kind of talked about. And, you know, ultimately, we didn't really know who was going to be a fit for Georgia. You know, last year, maybe Brett Sidon, the tight end, was an example of this, of someone that Georgia was able to evaluate late in the process, decide they wanted to give a scholarship to. And one of the guys going to end up winning that lottery right now is going to be Kinney. And, you know, certainly Collinsville in Gwinnett County has a very high level of play. He's played a tough schedule throughout his high school career. And so I love the idea of some of these in-state guys getting a chance to earn their way onto UGA by virtue of a really good senior season. That seems to be a fitting reward for going out there and working hard as a high school guy for 4 years.
Talking with Brandon Adams, the host of Dog Nation Daily.
I guess it's a little bit of an open question, but is there anything that we haven't brought up? I know you and Jeff and Connor have done a great job this entire recruiting cycle, just covering every angle. What are some names maybe we haven't talked about, you know, so far on the show that we are keeping an eye on this afternoon?
You know, I guess there's a chance that Georgia might end up flipping an Ole Miss commit. His name is the truth is I don't know a ton about him. It's the last name Blanche. Yeah, there's a chance that Georgia might still be involved with a guy like that. I do think they wouldn't mind having one more defensive back in the program. There's a chance that still happens. And, you know, that'd be the kind of thing that would get some attention because it's an SEC flip. You know, I think the Jones and Van Braun thing, I don't think you can overstate how valuable this is for Georgia. Sometimes it might be normal for, you know, guys like this late in the process who didn't sign in December to be hyped, because you need something to talk about. We all need content. It'd be easy to kind of spin them into, you know, something really big. In this case, it really is legitimately true. Our buddy Jeff has said that he thinks these guys rank among the top five offensive linemen, both of them, that Smart has signed in his era dating back when he first came here in 2016. I think that Jones has a chance to potentially be a starter at some point during the year, much the same way that Andrew Thomas was in his first year as a true freshman in 2017. And Van Braun's going to be a big-time competitor for playing time there in the interior of the offensive line. So I guess one thing I'll add to this too is keep your eye on McKinley Jackson. That's not a guy that's expected to come to Georgia, but he's going to choose between Alabama and a number of other SEC schools today. If he chooses Alabama, I guess the math folks will tell you that might prohibit Georgia from getting the number one class. So if you care about that, that's still out there to watch where Jackson goes. I don't expect it to be UGA. But if he chooses Alabama, it becomes a little bit hard for Georgia, I think, to get that number one class. I'm also not a math major, so some of your audience may correct me on that.
I believe I read, so if Bama gets the number one class, it'll be 9 out of the last 10 years. And if Georgia gets the number one class, it'll be 2 out of the last 3 years for Georgia. So I guess either way, you know, 1 or 2, you're still doing pretty well.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, you know, Logan mentioned this before about the gap that exists between Georgia and some other teams. Really, Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, those top three teams have such an unfair advantage in terms of the 4 and 5-star players they've collected here. Georgia's right in the middle of that. If you want to look towards the bottom of the top 10, not just picking on Florida, but really just the rest of those teams that are even in the top 10. It's amazing how much Alabama, Clemson, and Georgia have kind of extended their talent lead over the rest of these programs. If you're a UGA fan, whether Georgia ends up being ranked number one or not, David, as you said, there is no doubt that Smart and his staff, they have done their job to put together an elite class for Georgia once again.
Yeah, we stumbled upon this morning talking about Mark D'Antonio's departure from Michigan State, but we didn't realize, looking at their class, they don't have a single four-star BA. We're kind of spoiled down here in the South when it comes to the star rankings and what we not only expect, but what we get in recruiting classes. It's not like this for the rest of the nation.
Yeah, it's really amazing. And you know, if I was just a generic college football fan, obviously there's a way of looking at this that's not great for the sport when so much of the elite talent is congregated in so few places. I mean, we've never had fewer teams competing for a national championship. I'd argue that Michigan State, even though they're in the Big Ten, doesn't compete for a national championship because they can't go head-to-head with the elite talent and win a game. When they were in the playoff, we saw how bad they got beat by Alabama in that year. So you're right. I mean, we talk about almost exclusively four-star players and, you know, it seems like a dozen or so five-star players in every recruiting cycle. Most programs can't even dream of that, even ones that are fixtures in bowl games. And by the way, in Michigan State's case, even ones who may have been cheating to get the recruits they got, there is, because you can certainly follow some of the news that's coming out of East Lansing on that. Even with all of that, they just can't dream of recruiting the kind of players that Georgia recruits with regularity.
And by the way, who was it? It's Tyler Simmons, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
His little brother. And now Tyler's kind of mad about all that. This is a developing thing. I mean, for a coach to come out and have that kind of an announcement the day before the traditional signing day, there just some things just aren't adding up from what he was saying yesterday. Maybe we'll find out. But that's just a bizarre one from yesterday for Michigan State.
Yeah, there's a lawsuit that implicates him in some wrongdoing. And, you know, obviously it's difficult to know, you know, how true that is. That's part of this story right now. The other thing that's been widely reported is that he got a multi-million-dollar bonus by remaining at his job beyond, I think the date was January 15th. So he had a financial incentive to kind of drag this along. And it's interesting to hear, you know, Simmons weighing on behalf of his brother to essentially say that while, you know, D'Antonio was doing this, a lot of recruits were apparently in the dark on all of this. It is not a good look for Michigan State at all. And for D'Antonio, who I think has been respected in the sport, I think anyway, I think this is really a blight on his career, at least based on the way we understand this now, the way that he's going out there at Michigan State. Not a good look for him, and for his reputation's sake, I hope he gets a chance to correct the record.
B.A.?
A lot of things we didn't even get to. Next week when we come back, first of all, hopefully we're talking about the number one class. I wouldn't mind talking some recruiting budget. The numbers that came out this week are just insane for Georgia. I'm sure you've broken that down. Since you're not on the airwaves here at 960 The Ref in Athens, when will you be going live today on your Facebook and in all your other platforms to cover signing day?
We're going to start a little earlier today. We normally start live at 10 on the video channels, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. We're going to go a little early today and be ready to cover Broderick Jones when he announces live or when he signs or whatever is officially going to take place there. We'll do that around 10. We'll be back on the air at 3 p.m. to kind of recap a lot of things that go on. Let me give you guys one more nugget to think about. Kirby Smart is going to speak today. He'll do a press conference. Obviously, recruiting will come up, but it should also be really fascinating to hear his thoughts on the hire of Todd Monken and just how Jamie Newman as well, just how much offensive evolution is going to occur from UGA, how much of that is Smart willing to go on the record about. That's another big story today in addition to national signing day.
Absolutely. Hey, final thing here real quick. You and I, both of us agree we do not like giving our money to Georgia Tech, but it sounds like I'll see you at the Guns N' Roses concert this summer.
Yeah, listen, I've seen a lot of the great rock bands play. This is one that I haven't seen, and I don't love to go to Bobby Dodd Stadium, but this August I may have to be there.
If Guns N' Roses is there, it makes it more bearable, doesn't it?
Yeah, and somebody that sings for them and is not afraid to wear a bandana around his head, he turns 58 tomorrow. Woo. So
can you believe that?
Unbelievable.
I know that he hasn't had the easiest 58 years. We've seen some of the behind the music documentaries and stuff like that. So that in itself may be an achievement.
No kidding. B.A., always great having you on Wednesdays. And have a great day today. And we will certainly be back on with you tomorrow and looking forward to it. Thanks, man.
All right, y'all enjoy. Thanks,
man.
All right. Brandon Adams, the host of Dog Nation Daily.